Our next LOS is to calculate and interpret comparable yields on various securities, compare portfolio returns against a standard benchmark, and evaluate a company's short-term investment policy guidelines. Short-term securities in which a firm can invest cash include U.S. Treasury bills, short-term federal agency securities, bank certificates of deposit, bankers' acceptances, time deposits, repurchase agreements, commercial paper, money market mutual funds, and adjustable rate preferred stock. Adjustable rate preferred stock has a dividend rate that is reset quarterly to current market yields and offers corporate holders a tax advantage because a percentage of the dividends received are exempt from federal tax. The other securities listed are all described in more detail in the topics on fixed income securities. We covered the yield calculations for short-term discount securities in the Discounted Cash Flow Applications topic review in Quantitative Methods. The percentage discount from face value is the face value minus the price divided by the face value. The discount basis yield, or bank discount yield, is the percent discount times 360 divided by the number of days. The money market yield is the face value minus the price divided by the price times 360 divided by the number of days, or the holding period yield times 360 divided by the number of days. The bond equivalent yield measure for short-term discount securities is calculated as the face value minus the price divided by the price times 365 divided by the number of days, or the holding period yield times 365 divided by the number of days. Returns on the firm's short-term securities investments should be stated as bond equivalent yields. The return on the portfolio should be expressed as a weighted average of these yields. Typically, the objective of cash management is to earn a market return without taking on much risk, either liquidity risk or default risk. Firms invest cash that may be needed in the short term in securities of relatively high credit quality and relatively short maturities to minimize these risks. It is advisable to have a written investment policy statement. An investment policy statement typically begins with a statement of the purpose and objective of the investment portfolio, some general guidelines about the strategy to be employed to achieve those objectives, and the types of securities that will be used. The investment policy statement will also include specific information on who is allowed to purchase securities, who is responsible for complying with company guidelines, and what steps will be taken if the investment guidelines are not followed. Finally, the investment policy statement will include limitations on the specific types of securities permitted for investment of short-term funds, limitations on the credit ratings of portfolio securities, and limitations on the proportions of the total short-term securities portfolio that can be invested in the various types of permitted securities. An investment policy statement should be evaluated on how well the policy can be expected to satisfy the goals and purpose of short-term investments, generating yield without taking on excessive credit or liquidity risk. The policy should not be overly restrictive in the context of meeting the goals of safety and liquidity. The next LOS requires us to evaluate a company's management of accounts receivable, inventory, and accounts payable over time and compared to peer companies. The management of accounts receivable begins with calculating the average days of receivables and comparing this ratio to the firm's historical performance or to the average ratios for a group of comparable companies. More detail about the accounts receivable performance can be gained by using an aging schedule. Presenting this data as percentages of total outstanding receivables can facilitate analysis of how the aging schedule for receivables is changing over time. Another useful metric for monitoring the accounts receivable performance is the weighted average collection period, which indicates the average days outstanding per dollar of receivables. The weights are the percentage of total receivables in each category, and these are multiplied by the average days to collect accounts within each aging category. The information necessary to compare a firm's aging schedule and weighted average collection period to other firms is not available. However, analysis of the historical trends and significant changes in a firm's aging schedule and weighted average collection days can give a clearer picture of what is driving changes in the simpler metric of average days of receivables. The company must always evaluate the trade-off between stricter credit terms in light of borrower creditworthiness and the ability to make sales. Terms that are too strict will lead to less than optimal sales. Terms that are too lenient will increase sales at the cost of longer average days of receivables, which must be funded at some cost, and will increase bad accounts, directly affecting profitability. Inventory management involves a trade-off as well. Inventory levels that are too low will result in lost sales due to stockouts, while inventory that is too large will have carrying costs because the firm's capital is tied up in inventory. Reducing inventory will free up cash that can be invested in interest-bearing securities or used to reduce debt or equity funding. Increasing average days inventory or a decreasing inventory turnover ratio can both indicate that inventory is too large. A large inventory can lead to greater losses from obsolete items and can also indicate that obsolete items that no longer sell well are included in inventory. Comparing average days of inventory and inventory turnover ratios between industries or even between two firms that have different business strategies can be misleading. The grocery business typically has high inventory turnover, while an art gallery's inventory turnover will typically be low. An auto parts firm that stocks hard-to-find parts for antique cars will likely have a low inventory turnover and charge premium prices compared to a chain auto parts store that does most of its business in standard items like oil filters, brake parts, and antifreeze. In any business, inventory management is an important component of effective overall financial management. Just as a company must manage its receivables because they require working capital and therefore have a funding cost, accounts payable must be managed well because they represent a source of working capital to the firm. If the firm pays its payables prior to their due dates, cash is used unnecessarily and interest on it is sacrificed. If a firm pays its payables late, it can damage relationships with suppliers and lead to more restrictive credit terms, or even the requirement that purchases be made for cash. Late payment can also result in interest charges that are high compared to other sources of short-term funding. Typical terms on payables or trade credit contain a discount available to those who pay quickly as well as a due date. Terms of 210 net 60 mean that if the invoice is paid within 10 days, the company gets a 2% discount on the invoiced amount, and that if the company does not take advantage of the discount, the net amount is due 60 days from the date of the invoice. The cost to the company of not taking the discount for early payment can be evaluated as an annualized rate by dividing the percent discount by 1 minus the percent discount, adding 1, raising the result to the power of 365 divided by the number of days since the end of the discount period, and then subtracting 1. Trade credit can be a source of liquidity for a company. However, when the cost of trade credit is greater than the company's cost of short-term liquidity from other sources, the company is better off paying the invoices within the discount period, ideally at the end of the discount period. The annualized cost of trade credit decreases as the payment period increases. If the company does not take a discount, it should wait until the due date to pay the invoice. Our primary quantitative measure of payables management is average days of payables outstanding, which can also be calculated as accounts payable divided by the average days purchases. The average days purchases equals annual purchases divided by 365. A company with a short payables period and a high payables turnover may simply be taking advantage of discounts for paying early because it has good, low-cost funds available to finance its working capital needs. A company with a long payables period may be such an important buyer that it can effectively utilize accounts payable as a source of short-term funding with relatively little cost because suppliers will put up with it. Monitoring the changes in days payable outstanding over time for a single firm will, however, aid the analyst. An extension of days payables may serve as an early warning of deteriorating short-term liquidity.